Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're continuing our discussion with Dr. Steve Wellum about his new Systematic Theology. Volume 1 is out now. And we've been talking our way through it. We've been going through Chapter 1, Chapter 2. Last time we got about halfway through Chapter 3, we picked that up again. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Fred. Great to be with you again.
All right, you developed this idea of the foundation of systematic theology, scripture being the foundation of it all. You developed that I think it's an excellent discussion of the necessity of divine speech, which you describe in three ways, and I'll read them. One, as the divine speech as the answer to our present cultural moment with its loss of a ground for objective truth. Number two, as the foundation for a normative theology. And three, as necessary due to God's incomprehensibility. So let's take our time here. Walk us through each of those as you'd like. Take what time you need and explain those three for us one by one.
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah, so I'm really picking up a standard discussion of divine revelation that it is necessary, right? So we often will tie that specifically to scripture, right? One of the great attributes there's a number of attributes that came particularly out of the Reformation in debates with Roman Catholicism, is that scripture is necessary, right? Rome believed in the authority of scripture, but they also said the church first is necessary that gives you scripture, and then divine authority, scripture's sufficiency, and scripture's clarity, those major four attributes. There were a few others, but those became the dominant. So necessity is always where we need to start, is we do not know God, we do not know ourselves in a true objective manner, right? So that's very important to say that, because you could say, well, I look at the world and I can make some good hypotheses and I can make some good, I have this experience in that, but how does one have warranted objective knowledge? How do I know that this isn't just mere subjectivity? How do I know that there's a ground for what I believe and it's just not my opinion, right? So it's normative, meaning universal, objective, meaning it's not just subjective, but it's that which actually gives us truth. Sometimes, you know, people will use the term absolute truth, you know, in our day. I'd rather use the term objective truth, because absolute truth can convey a whole number of things. But what we're talking about is true truth, right? Francis Schaeffer said that. That is objective, that it's not just tied to my perceptions, subjectivity, and so on. So I'm arguing here, I mean, what's standard is to argue for the second and third point that you mentioned, that we don't have a normative theology apart from God's communication, him being there in his communication to us of scripture, which is now authoritative, true, and thus we can know him. So the second area was for a normative theology. Everybody in the history of the thought until sort of the modern era type of thing has said, yes, God must speak to us. How do we know that God is triune? How do we know that there's a heaven and a hell? How do we know that we are justified by grace through faith in Christ alone, right? Well, God must give us promises. God must reveal himself to us. God must speak to us. So that's that second area in terms of a normative theology. How do we have truth about who God is, who we are, apart from a revelation that is true and not only its facts, right, in terms of what it's describing, right? If the Bible is factually in error, well, then hardly we can say we know God truly and know ourselves and know him. And it's not just a matter of facts. It's also God must give us the interpretation of those facts. And so a normative theology requires a word revelation that is true from him, and also factual acts, the mighty acts of God. We often speak of divine revelation as a word act revelation when we speak of special revelation. And that's required for a normative theology. And I illustrate that by Christology, but you could tie that to every doctrinal area.